Yep, she knows sports. Check out Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This duo gives it to you straight with no chaser. If you can handle it, tune in and get your sports news, opinions, and so much more every week from She Knows Sports. Intensity is not a perfume. Join us Thursdays on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hello, hello, beautiful people. Thank goodness it's Thursday, the day before the weekend. Let's get it started with some with a great show. Welcome to She Knows Sports with myself, Brittany Jones, here with my wonderful, awesome, great co-host, Miss Princess Cooper, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Hi, Miss Princess. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Brittany. How are you? I'm glad that it is Thursday. It is beginning, or as we always say, weekend ease. So let's get going.
Absolutely. And I want to say, Princess is back, everybody. She's back. So,
oh, yeah, you know what? Let me give a shout-out to Kay Walt for sitting in for me last Thursday. Mm-hmm. I had a local event, and I appreciate that. So, Kay Walt, I listened to the show, most of it, about 45, 50 minutes. I called in and listened, and you guys were smooth. You know, didn't miss a beat, and your chemistry was good. So thank you. Thank you to both of you all. It was a great show.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. But I'm happy to have the originator back of this show. Although I do appreciate you, well, because he always listens, and it's not the Nazis. I do appreciate you.
Shout out to K-Walk.
Exactly. Let's talk about some sports. There's so much going on right now in the sports world, like there always is, really. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to get into the NFL draft. So the 2022 NFL draft is next Thursday, April 28th, and I'm going to shout it out because that is my birthday. Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. But this has been the hype of the NFL offseason thus far, which it is every year around this time. The draft usually mm-hmm. lasts about 3 days, with the first 2 days being the most exciting for the media organizations and, most importantly, the fans. Princess, do you have any players that you like, and do you like to watch the NFL draft?
Well, let me say first is that I think the NFL has the best offseason of any sport ever. I love their offseason, and I think probably next mm-hmm. is the NBA. But the offseason is just as amazing leading up to, okay, Labor Day, and we're getting ready for live games. And I love the NFL draft, and I love the fact that the NFL draft started going around to different NFL cities. I think that was a genius. Whoever thought of that really hammered in on it. And the one that was in Tennessee was just outstanding in the outcome. But they've been like that in all of the cities. I loved the one in Philly. And every time a Dallas Cowboy came up or whatever, they booed so hard. It was amazing. So having it in every city has been an outstanding too. And I used to, when I was working retail for Tommy Hilfiger and for Dillard's and a buyer, I used to take off. Okay, I want that to be my four-day weekend because I want to be there for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I think they've now changed it to, you know, Thursday and Friday and then the culmination on Saturday with, I think, the last four rounds. So, yes, I watch all of them. By Saturday, it's more background noise. Thursday mm-hmm. and Friday, I'm tuned in and watching and seeing where everybody's going and really taking notice of what's the best available left. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about players, I love the story of Hutchinson, the young man coming out of Michigan State. I like that story. There's some wide receivers out there, especially the ones for Ohio State, but this is a wide receiver rich draft, so I'm looking forward to that. And I want to see where Pickett goes. You know, I hear his stock is rising with Pittsburgh. My Cowboys don't need a quarterback, but I want us to find every offensive lineman we can in the draft, some defensive back, and maybe a running back since last year. Ezekiel Elliott had 58 yards a game. That was his total. And if you're going to get paid that kind of money, we need better than that. So, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be right there. And I actually have gotten Rev to watch it with me the last two or three years. And interested in to see what everybody has on, whose family they have, or some of the girlfriends there, who's in the green room, all of that, Brittany. I'm there watching. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love watching the NFL draft. Just same as you, the first 2 days I'm sitting in front of the TV watching it, and I like to watch it live if I can because I like to hear what they're talking about, things like that. Mm-hmm. The last day, the third day, Saturday, same thing, background noise. It's just on, and I'll look up if once I hear Philadelphia Eagles, you know, pop up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that you said that you, because I remember in 2017. And I was Drew Pearson, Cowboys legend. Pearson.
That's what I remember.
Philadelphia. And I was working the draft that year. I was at the draft working it. And he went on a rampage about how the Cowboys are the best and this, that, and the third. And I can appreciate Brian Westbrook, Philadelphia legend, stepped in and said, you are not going to come into Philadelphia and disrespect our city like that. But you know what? I wish we could do that again because of what Drew Pearson did, we ended up winning the Super Bowl that same year. So I don't mind him coming back and doing that again so we can show him
doing that again.
But
well,
no,
I hope we don't run that back then because I don't want the Eagles to win another Super Bowl. And I don't even know who are you all playing that year. Who is the Eagles playing that year in the Super Bowl? Was it the Patriots?
The Patriots. Mm-hmm. Against Tom
it was
Brady.
The Patriots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was, and I don't want to get too far off the main subject, but I was really torn that year. You know, my hope was is that both teams played to a tie and went into six overtimes, and they both teams got high ankle sprains, nothing serious, some high ankle sprains, and went home, and nobody won. But that didn't happen. The Eagles won. And I was very impressed with Nick Foles and how that happened. And in the city itself, you had to be happy for them. And it's a shame that Doug Peterson is no longer there. But that was some a great time for the city in the draft.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun being at the draft. Of course, I went to the parade when they won the Super Bowl. So I should say thank you to former Cowboys wide receiver
Hall
of Fame.
Shout out to Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson, I appreciate you for that.
Drew Pearson.
Because of you, we won that Super Bowl that year, so thank you.
I don't even think you were born when Drew Pearson was playing.
Was he playing in the 90s? Or is he,
no,
is
Drew
he was,
Pearson
he,
was 70s and 80s.
Let
me look it up
while.
Yeah.
I can
definitely 80s
I can,
because
1990.
I remember the Falcon game I was at with Cowboys, and that was a late touchdown from Staubach. So, yeah. But,
I came later. But, you know, just to list some players that I'm really looking forward
73
to. 73
to
83. I don't know. Did my mom even graduate high school? Yeah, I don't even know if she graduated high school yet.
Yeah, exactly. I was in high school, so.
But some of the draft, the players that will be attending that I really, really interested or do like in this draft, Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati Bearcats. I think he's going to be a very talented receiver. Cornerback. He's not a receiver, cornerback. Derek Stingley from LSU. I think his injuries kind of deterred some teams away from him, but he's very talented. Granted, he's a little smaller. He's about 5'11", but he has good ball skills, fluid in the hips, so he moves very well. So So I think his game will translate over into the NFL. I think he will be successful. It is a receiver-rich draft this year. So you got Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Drake London. I go on and on and on. I would like for the Eagles to pick up at least one of these receivers, whether in the first or second round. Hopefully they get the right one because that is questions. But I really love this defensive tackle, Jordan Davis. This kid is athletic, is I don't know what, and he's about six, I don't know how tall he is, 6'4", 6'5", six, something like that, 300 and something pounds and ran like a 4.6 40, which is crazy for somebody that size to move that fast. But those are the teams that I'm really, really excited about. So wish them all the luck. I will do my best to watch it. It is my birthday, so I do plan on going out to dinner to hopefully eat so and celebrate a little bit. But, yeah, this is going to be an exciting, exciting time.
Brittany, I heard you mention Jordan Davis last week on the show, too. So I know you have an affinity for this defensive lineman from Georgia. What a big guy. And he was smooth in his 40. So I'm looking forward to see what he does, too. But I also look forward to, Brittany, the chess play, the maneuvers, the trades leading up to a pick, and that usually happens that with the drama in the first round, of course, which is more interesting. You see people move up and down. So I'm really excited to see what happens, you know, with that. All the maneuvers and trades and of picks up and down. So looking forward to it. It's a favorite, one of my favorite time of year, and that is the NFL draft and everything leading up to it. The city, what they're wearing, and they even do a red carpet now leading up to it. Go for it. And this is in Vegas. Wow. Everybody, what's done in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But now, Princess, we got to get into what's going on outside of the draft. We're still staying in the NFL realm here. But there has been so much speculation around the NFL that these top-tier wide receivers are looking to potentially get traded. A lot of them do the money. A lot of them, well, most of them are, let me correct that. All of them really do the money, although they may see something else. But that's what it's about. But we have heard about Seattle Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, Tennessee Titans wide receiver AJ Brown, so forth and so forth. And now we have to add to the list 49ers wide receiver Mr. Deebo Samuel. It was announced, I believe, yesterday that Deebo Samuel has asked the 49ers for a trade. Do you think the 49ers will trade Deebo, or will they be able to work it out, especially since the 49ers did offer him an extension, which means they sounds like they would like to keep him? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one thing is that I got to see Deebo grow up as he's a Gamecock, so I got to see him in college. And you'd have to say that his game has really taken on in the NFL, and I think the 49ers have played to his strengths and used him in a very good way. And he is – he is better than Percy Harvin, and that was that position that I really kind of grew to like with him at Florida. I don't think Harvin did well in the NFL. But let's get back to the 49ers. I think they should do whatever it takes to keep him. I think that's a part of the offense that they need, especially if they are moving on from starting Garoppolo and moving into the direction of the young quarterback, and I think it's Trey Lance, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, the 49ers, I'm sure, are talking in the background to his agent and whatever they can do. But we're in a new era of first you see them take down all of the colors and the branding from their team on their social media. And then they start, looking like they want to do something else. And then they, of course, then demand a trade. But I say this to Deebo Samuels, or to any other wide receivers or to any other players who are moving around to different teams in the NFL, get that money while you're physically able to demand that type of money. And I think he saw what Tyreek Hill did, you know, the wide receiver that from the Browns that, you know, no, that I think that was a defensive back. But these players are demanding a lot of money. And if they can get 50 to 75% of that guaranteed, go for it. I'd like to see him stay a 49er for a lot of reasons. I think he was really good in that offense, and so that K-Walk is happy. But once he demanded a trade yesterday, K-Walk on Twitter said, bye, Felicia. So, but I'm sure that the fans and the 49ers, if they could work it out, would like to see him be on their roster. Mm-hmm. But if he is not, I think that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys need to be calling, and that would be a good pickup for the Cowboys.
Yeah, you're going to have to give up CeeDee Lamb for him.
That's just it. No, we can't give up CeeDee Lamb. Amari Cooper has already said bye, and we can't get Jameis. We can't get him. He's going to go higher than we're drafting. So we're not giving up. Brittany, I just said I just wanted him on the team now. So they're going to have to work that out. You know, they're going to have to work that out.
I don't blame you, because Deebo Samuel is a talented guy. He can do everything you want him to do on the offense, even special teams if you need him to do it, and he gives it his all. I'm honestly not sure if they're going to trade him. I think it's just a situation where he might be frustrated right now because he is seeing guys, like you said, Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, they getting paid. Now, he might not be able to get paid as much as a Tyreek Hill, but he definitely should be getting paid more money than a Christian Kirk that signed this massive contract to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I don't believe Christian Kirk is going to live up to that contract, but we'll see what happens. So I get why he is a little upset, but I do think that they can reconcile the situation. I do believe that the 49ers organization still wants him. Now, he does want to get paid as a top-tier receiver, and I know a lot of people in the organization and maybe even around the NFL kind of sees him as this hybrid player between wide receiver and running back, so they don't want to pay him as much. But I will say this. Pay that man his money, because to me, he is the 49ers offense. I don't care what anybody says. He does so much for that team. Without Deebo, I don't think they would have got as far as they did. And don't get me wrong, their defense was amazing. Like, the 49ers has a top-tier defense in the league, and we all know that. They literally won a game to me because of defense and special teams. But the points that they did get, or the yards that they did get, to me was because of Deebo Samuel. Jimmy Garoppolo leaned so much on Deebo, it made no sense to me last year. And to all the 49ers fans, not all of them, because there's not all of them out there. All I'm only saying is because I've spoken to a few of them. They're acting like Deebo was just bench guy.
A scrub.
Who didn't do anything. I'm like, are you kidding me? Don't disrespect that man like that. So I do kind of see why he is frustrated, because all of a sudden he's receiving death threats and things of that nature because he's trying to get his money. Pay that man his money. If not, he's going to – they'll get compensated for trading him. But he's going to take his talent and give it to a whole nother team and help a whole nother team get to where the 49ers was trying to get to. And, yes, I like Eli Mitchell. I like Brandon Ayuk. But are they at the point where they can help lift this team to another level like Deebo did this past season? I don't know if they're there just yet. So, basically, with a young quarterback in Trey Lance and these young players, I don't know if those other two players are there just yet. I think with Trey Lance leaning on Deebo, that will help this team once again get to another level that, to me, they somehow reached last year, mainly leaning on that defense, of course. That did shock me as far as they got. But to me, that is because of great coaching, Deebo, which is the offense, in my opinion, and that awesome defense. So pay that man his money so he could be happy, the organization could be happy, and these fans could get some act right in them, because they making me sick over here, getting on my nerves.
Well, you know, I
want to
give John Lynch I want to give John Lynch credit and Shanahan credit too for drafting this young man and putting him in the position where they put him. So, and I think Shanahan is just one of those offensive gurus out there that can't be discredited. So, to Debo, you know, realize what you have and think about coming back. But he must be mad about something. And he, you know, some of the conversations that he was concerned about how they used him, I thought they used him very well. So overall, John Lynch, Shanahan, reach out to the young man. And Debo, you know, the grass isn't always greener everywhere else. You know, I think you're in an offense that you know, that you understand, and that you perform well in, and a great relationship with the offensive coordinator, head coach, Shanahan. So, all around. But, yeah, to all of the fans out there who say, okay, well, he's demanding a trade. Well, bye. If you don't want to, I don't know. I'd eat a little humble pie to get him back. And his draft stock is, I don't know where he was drafted, but where he is now in his performance in the playoffs and the regular season last year, he warranted somebody to come to him and sit down and say, okay, what you want? The bottom line is he wants the money. He wants that money and guaranteed money and a contract. So let's see what happens.
Exactly. You know what? And, you know, you're right. It's not always green on the other side unless you go to the Philadelphia Eagles, pun intended, because we are
greener. Oh, boy.
But as much as I would love to have Debo on my team, I just think he will cost too much for us. If we could get him at a good rate, I would love to have Debo Samuel on my team because he does so hard. Like, his yards, his ability, once he catches the ball and how many yards he gets after contact, to me, is just ridiculous. So I wish we can have him. I don't, maybe that's something, you know, if he actually does get traded, the Eagles could be looking into, but I just don't want to pay that much to the 49ers, especially giving up. We'll definitely have to give up a first round draft pick, and their defense is already good. I'm not trying to add to their offense to try to get them to a whole nother level. So no, let's go look elsewhere or just look in the draft. But yeah, you gotta give Debo his money. I think he deserves it. Out of all the players in this league, that is one player I can honestly say I believe deserves to get his money.
Well, you know what, Brittany, that's the business of the NFL, too, and I think that's the business anywhere, and that if you want a talent, you're going to have to pay for that talent, and that would be a good weapon for Jalen Hurts. We had on, and I don't want to get too far off, but I do want to mention this, we had on former wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike Quick, and that was definitely before you were born. But he was a great interview, and he's one of the radio voices in Philly for the Eagles now. And I asked him about Jalen Hurts and his thoughts, and he said, I'm not there yet. He said, I think the jury's still out. And I said that to say that Debo would help that jury to be unanimous in his favor if he could get a wide receiver that, you know, of that caliber that can go inside and can stretch the field. So, but Debo's going to be expensive. If he's not going to stay in with the 49ers, he's going to be expensive to get, and you're going to have to give up something or a lot to get him. You know, and I think people may be weighing, you know, franchises may be weighing that out, but he's deserving. So 49ers, try to make it happen. Get the man to stay there. And if he can't, then Cowboys, you know, I don't want the Eagles to get him. Go see what you can do.
Well, it's just between us and the Cowboys, and no, the Eagles got to go get him. Hey, but if all the 49ers fans, they want to sit and complain about Debo and how he is scrubbed, you can always say Jalen Rager. In that case, I'll be happy to take Debo Samuel. And I bet you they're going to change their mind real fast. But no, you're right. I Mike Quick. Took my mom to go meet him a few years ago, and he's such a nice guy. Very, very nice, very smart guy. But he's right, and I'm in complete agreement with him. Debo, if he was on the Eagles, to me, he would absolutely help Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith because he would take all the pressure of teams trying to lean towards and double-team Devontae Smith because of what he showed them last year. He would take so much pressure off of them, and it opens up our field so much more for all the other guys, and this offense will be completely different. It will be that much more dynamic. And maybe to me, we will end up becoming, no disrespect to the Cowboys, I think we will end up becoming the best overall team in the NFC East. Not necessarily the best offense, but the best overall team in the NFC East only.
And that may be true. But I think it opens up, if the Eagles can get them, shoot, that's good for the other wide receivers. That's good for the defense who gets to come off the field or stay off the field because that offense is going down the field. And it would be a help for Jalen Hurts and the offensive linemen. Shoot, it's good all overall. But I just don't see the 49ers just walking away from this. This is not a Deshaun Watson situation here. This is more of a Tyreek Hill in that, you know, I'm seeking the best out there, and I don't think I can get it at home. And there was no controversy with Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs. It was just a shock. You know, he shopped himself and hit the lottery, you know, 10 times. So
exactly.
But we,
and not
– Yeah, yeah.
I don't – Okay, not to – well, I'm going to change over to the Chiefs because it's funny that you mentioned the Chiefs. I need people to – even Patrick Mahomes, look, they lost a dynamic, very, very dynamic type of weapon on that offense. And I feel like people are kind of downplaying the impact that Tyreek has on that Chiefs offense. Even to me, a little bit Patrick Mahomes. I know he's not downplaying it too much because he does understand the type of talent Tyreek Hill is a little bit because maybe he just has to accept the fact that Tyreek Hill did get traded to Miami. But what Tyreek Hill did for that Chiefs offense, he opened up the field so much for Travis Kelce and whatever receiver they had on the other side. Look, I like J.J. I'm sorry, Smith-Schuster. Is it J.J. Smith-Schuster? I believe so. I like him. He's just not, he's not Tyreek Hill. And I need people to understand that. You know, as talented as a receiver as Smith-Schuster is, he cannot do the things that Tyreek Hill was able to do on that field. Like, Tyreek Hill made corners and DBs or corners and safeties nervous every time they stood across from him. He literally put fear in these guys. These other two guys that they got, as talented as they are, they're not doing that. And Patrick Mahomes needs to understand, like, your offense is getting ready to change drastically because you don't have that dynamic speedster, dynamic route runner. Like, he could do it. He could do so much for an offense. Miami Dolphins with Jalen Waddle, like, they're the fastest offense in this league. And Tua has no excuse not to be successful over there right now, in my opinion. So, people, please stop the, downplaying the impact of Tyreek Hill with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You know, Tyreek Hill said after practice and, you know, with Tua, he said catching the ball from Tua is like comparing versus, you know, Patrick Mahomes is like comparing a Pinto to a Ferrari. He said it's so different. And really, Tyreek, you're going to have to close your mouth about that and try to be a good team player in there and pop up to him because I think he needs all the help he can get. But I agree that Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs, what a big loss. They were best friends from Patrick Mahomes. You know, he was saying deuces to every DB he ran by, it seems like. And you can't account for that type of football speed. I'm not talking about the 40 speed. I'm talking about football speed with the pads on and the ball in your hand and dodging and picking up yards. So I don't know. They maybe can find the speed in the draft, and I'm talking about the Chiefs, but you're not going to find someone that's going to be caught up on that offense and so smooth as they were. They're going to miss him. And I'm not saying that maybe they can get someone in a couple years that can fill that spot But this year is going to be glaring, and they're going to have to find other ways to make up for those yards and those touchdowns that were a part of the Chiefs' offense. Travis Kelce can't do it all, so they're going to have to look to some of the young ones like DeMarcus Robinson, who came out of Florida, who caught probably 5 or 6 or 7 touchdowns last year, did really well in the playoffs. But they're going to need a speedster to fill that offense, and Patrick Mahomes can't play every position. He needs someone like that to throw to, so it's going to be a void this year for sure. But I think Tyreek Hill is going to miss Patrick Mahomes too. And that money may make up for it. That weather in South Beach may make up for it. Those yachts and all that may make up for it. But he's going to miss Patrick Mahomes too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I absolutely think that goes both ways. And I need for the Chiefs, Ms. Schuster, to make sure he stays healthy. That's the one thing. As talented as he is, he can never stay healthy on the field. So that's a big, big fact. That offensive line fix. Because Patrick Mahomes can't run all day long, okay? So hopefully
That
fixed. Once everything gets fixed up, we'll see. Just right now, I just don't see the top-tier Chiefs anymore because they lost a big piece to that offense that made them so scary. So, but both teams will be okay. But, guys, we got to head to our first break. We got in a lot of NFL. But when we come back... You guys know what time it is. We got to talk about these NBA playoffs and some of the crazy thing that's going on this play, the first round this year thus far. So you guys are listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. But we built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get-offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
All right, Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. I am Princess Cooper with my co-host here, Brittany Jones, on She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. Brittany, NBA now, that's your fire. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take this on over and bring us home. You know, these are your topics right here. So I'll follow your lead.
All right, let's do it. All right, so yesterday we had some teams had their second game, other teams had their third game. I had to talk to this NBA about this playoff schedule. That's a whole nother conversation. But the first game we're going to get into was a crazy game. It was actually about 2 or 3 crazy games yesterday, but this one was the big game. Everybody talking about it. I know I was really surprised, not too surprised, but a little surprised. The Boston Celtics versus the Brooklyn Nets. The Boston Celtics are now 2-0 in this series after beating the Nets last night in a 114-107 victory. The Celtics came back after being down about 17 points in the first half after playing a horrible, terrible first half, but was able to dig down on defense in the second half to secure the win. Princess, I don't know if you were able to catch the game, but what were your thoughts about this situation? So you're on mute again?
Oh, Britt, I was just talking away, too. It was good, too. Thank you for catching that. You know, I was able to see the beginning and the end. I was able to see the first quarter and the fourth quarter. And if you saw that, you saw two different Celtic teams. But I think the young bucks of the Celtics are wearing out Kevin Durant, and I saw some reviews of it today on ESPN, and they were talking about I think it was Kendrick Perkins was talking about the defense that the Celtics played on them and how they really played up to Kevin Durant. And they took away some of his shots, took away some of his spots. And don't look now, you know, the Celtics are up 2-0. And I don't think the Nets get out of this series. And I know the third game's coming up, you know, but if they don't win game three, okay, and we know that. But if they don't win game three, it's definitely over. So I think the season has worn on them. When I say the season, I'm talking about the Nets and everything that has gone on and all the controversy and then the trade and the Kyrie stuff. And even this week with Kyrie and shooting the bird and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that's wearing on the Nets. And if they can't go home and do something, I think it's over.
You know, I just realized the Nets locker room is filled with a lot of drama constantly.
There you go.
Every single year, they're just filled with drama. You know, I was watching this game, and in the first half, I was like, what is going on with Boston? They're not clicking. You know, they're rushing things. They're turning the ball over constantly. I'm like, they're par. You know, and then I said, you know what, though? This is Boston Celtics. You know, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and so forth. And to me, the leader in that locker room, which is Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year. And I said, if they get within 10 points before halftime, this is going to be a different situation. I believe they were able to get that. They were able to get under 10 points, I believe, something like that. And then the second half, they came out and they played that defense. And every time Kevin Durant touched the ball, he not only seen his main defender, but he's seen someone on his peripherals. You know, he's going one-on-one. At least he thought he was going one-on-one. And then here's somebody else from the corner coming over and taking the ball from him. They are so much more physical against this Nets team. And they just put so much pressure on everybody, you know. And people are saying, you know, Kyrie and KD, they had bad games in both games. No, Kyrie had a great game in game one. It just wasn't enough.
Oh, yeah. KD 20 points,
is
I think
the one,
it was.
Exactly. KD is the one that's been struggling, but I'm not surprised. When you really pressure KD and he's not able to get into his spots, he's not able to move at the pace he would like to move, but you speed that up and you control his pace, he's not as effective as you would like for him to be, and you can throw him out of his rhythm. I understand he does great in the regular season, but I've been telling people throughout this entire season, the regular season is completely different when it comes down to the playoffs, and you are going against a team whose main goal is defense. And the thing about the Celtics, they can't match the Nets offensively. But the Celtics play crazy defense. The Nets do not. Mm-hmm. I just think the Nets, they don't have enough outside of KD and Kyrie, which is crazy because you have Seth Curry, because you have Patty Mills, because you have Dragic now. You know, you would think you have all these offensive weapons, but here's the thing. Double KD and Kyrie, and you make sure the ball gets out of their hands. The other players aren't good enough to take over the game. I will say I do like Bruce Brown, but he's not there yet. And I'm not sure if he'll get there, but he's not there yet. He looks like one day he will be, but not this year. This is not it. And I understand people are saying, well, when Ben Simmons come in, yada, yada, yada. Ben Simmons has not played since last season. And did we remember how he played when he played last season? He was horrible. So you thinking, well, his so-called, he gets nervous. Everybody says he gets nervous and he's scared to play. Do you think putting him in a game four situation with all this pressure is going to help him? Because guess what? People say, oh, he could just play defense. On offense, that ball is going to find him if the Celtics continue to double KD and then make sure the ball doesn't get into Kyrie's hand. Well, guess what? Ben Simmons is the next best player on that team, right? So it's going to hit his hands, and he's going to have to make a choice to shoot that ball and be aggressive. Is he at that point right now? We don't know, and he hasn't played in the whole year, let alone he doesn't have the chemistry and probably doesn't even know the offense like he should on the court because he has not played with this team yet. So I need people to really reevaluate their thoughts at times, and I'm not sure if the Nets truly respect Steve Nash. Remember, just a couple years ago, when KD and Kyrie got together, what's the first thing that came out of Kyrie's mouth? Oh, we don't even need a coach. We could coach ourselves. So that shows you how much respect they have for their head coach. They don't listen to him as much as you think they do. So to me, I can't go with a team who does not play defense. I'm going – now, I'm not saying the Nets will not win game three. They better win game three. To me, for the Nets, this is a must win. This is not, this is a – you have to win this game. If not, you're losing the series. So this is a must win at home in Brooklyn. If the Celtics take this game, they got to get some defenders, and it just can't be Ben Simmons being the only defender on that team, because you're going back to the same situation that the Sixers had last year, which is going to be 4-on-5. Good luck with that. I think the Sixers showed y'all what happened last year when that didn't work out. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Britt, to kind of button this up, I think the Nets are playing like a 7 seed. And I know in NBA playoff history, the 7 seed has beat a 2 seed before. But I just don't see the Nets coming out of this. And if they come out of this with the Celtics, then they get the Heat, or, you know, because I think they're going to win that series against the Hawks. But, you know, I'm just surprised that KD has not shown up 2 straight games. That has been a surprise to me. And I agree with you. I want to go back to that. The drama on that team and in that locker room. And if it was not for a pitiful shame, I would want to be like Ben Simmons, because he's just sitting there making millions and hadn't done a thing since last year. And what he did last year, he should have been ashamed of and really worked in the off season. But the young man is making millions and hadn't dribbled a ball on the court in a regular game or official game. And I hope for his sake that he reinstates his ability to play basketball and becomes valuable before his contract runs out and does the right thing. But I don't see the Nets doing anything in this series. I really don't. I don't see them doing anything. And if they do, then they run up on another buzzsaw. So either way, I just don't see them going far in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to constantly – now we'll see what happens with the Bucks in the next series, because I know they just lost Chris Middleton. But if they won against the Bulls, you're constantly going against teams that play defense and good defense. But – enough of the Nets. I have to now get to my team, of course, and the things that's been going on with my Sixers. So last night, the Sixers versus the Raptors. The Philadelphia 76ers, my hometown team, are up 3-0 in the series. Last night, they were able to pull out a victory in Toronto after playing a terrible bad half, which caused the team to be down by almost 20 points. And they had 15 turnovers in the first half. That's crazy. The Sixers were able to maintain their composure and win in overtime with a Joel Embiid game-winning three-point shot and a 104-101 victory. What were your thoughts about this game, Princess?
Brittany, I didn't get to see the game live. And when I woke up, we were just getting back from Georgia, a 3-day trip, me and Rev. But I did see the highlights. And Joel Embiid, this is his year. If none of the other years was this year, his talent has come to roost in a very good way with the 76ers. They win a buzzer beater. I did get to see game two, and I thought that the 76ers looked unbeatable, and that everybody is coming to play. And I like myself. I think it's Maxie. I love that young kid for sure. So 3-0. So we know the odds of a team coming back from a 3-0 deficit. So I think we can move on and safely and say that this is probably done. Get the broom out. But after that, I'm going to let you have it on your thoughts, because I didn't get to see game three. Game two, I was rooting for Toronto to try to even it up, but they're no match for the 76ers.
Again, this is just to me, Princess. This is another reason why I constantly tell people, do not worry about what happens to the regular season when it comes to the playoffs, because the playoffs are a different game. In a regular season, the Raptors won a series 3-1. In the playoffs, you get more in the half-court offense. Defense are set a little bit better, set more. And the game slows down a lot. You know, don't get me wrong, I like the Raptors. the Raptors. I like Pascal Siakam. I like OG Anunoby. I like the rookie Barnes, although he couldn't play the last two games because he is injured. I do like Nick Nurse. He's a very, very talented, probably one of the best coaches right now. Joel Embiid is just too much for this team to handle. They tried to be physical in that second game. Joel Embiid said, I'm going to show you what physical is, and he out-physicaled all of them. All of them. At one point in time, he went in between three defenders, and they tried to smash him. And he said, no, I'm getting to this line, and I'm going to make my free throws, and you guys are going to lose, and that's what happened. Now, this past game, last night, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to hold on with this one. You know, we're up 2-0. If this happens to be a loss, that's okay, but you come back, you make some adjustments. But the team was able to maintain their composure because that first half was terrible. They were doing unforced turnovers. You know, the Sixers, when they lose, they beat themselves. Every loss they have ever had, they beat themselves just through lack of aggression and being lackadaisical with the ball. You know, just being too lax. No, you got to ramp it up. You got to be aggressive. Come on now. You got this. But they were able to do that mainly on the back of Joel Embiid, especially in that third quarter when he scored 18 points. And he was able to pick things up a little bit. And then Maxey, like you said. Now, this is the thing with Maxey. The difference between Maxey and Ben Simmons. Maxey came in last year. He was an okay player. Although I did see a lot of potential in him last year when I was watching him. He works his tail off. They say he does 6-a-days to get better at his game and to get stronger. And you can see the difference between only 1 year. Ben Simmons has been in this league for about 5 years, and he still can't shoot the ball. That's a problem to me. You're not working. Get the work. So I'm like, you're able to improve when you are in the NBA. It's proven. Maxey has shown it. Previous players have shown it. Ben Simmons, get to work, okay? But going back, Harden, to me, is a difference maker. Now, people may say, how is Harden a difference maker? He's not shooting the best. He doesn't have to score 25, 30 points to win. He just needs to be a good facilitator and a good leader in that locker room and to continue to support Maxey and his team. And that's exactly what he's doing, and we are seeing the result of that right now. Harden fouled out last night, and we were still somehow able to win this game. And I thought Harden had the best game thus far, one of the best games thus far, the entire series, which was yesterday. He was shooting the ball a little bit better. He was able to pass it. He just fouled out. So this game was a really good game to me for the Sixers. It is the playoffs. I don't want to hear people say, oh, it's the Raptors. Any team in the playoffs is hard. This is the NBA. So, but I'm glad we were able to pull out the win. And I have to give a lot of credit to Doc Rivers for trusting in Joel Embiid and drawing up that last play, because he drew up that play specifically for Joel Embiid to shoot that three. And that just showed how good of a coach he really is, although sometimes we do question him at times. 3-0. We got one more to win. Hopefully we win Saturday. So, but they got to make sure they be aggressive. Maxey, Embiid, Tobias. And Tobias Harris' defense has been amazing. For someone that everybody say cannot play defense, he's sure Nuff has been locking down players in this series, and I hope he continues to do that, because when he's not able to score, he does everything else, which I can appreciate.
Well, Brittany, I don't think that any 76er fan should question Doc Rivers. You're not going to always agree with his coaching style, with some of his coaching decisions, but I think from him playing college ball at Marquette all the way to being drafted and playing for the Orlando Magic, oh no, he coached for them, playing for the Celtics and the Hawks, I think he's definitely, what he does with the 4-team, winning the championship with the Celtics, bringing the Clippers back to relevance, and now with the 76ers. You know, he drew up that play. I saw that, and I think the 76ers are destined to go far, you know, deep into this playoffs. It's just how far are they going to go? And if Embiid wherever this team goes, it's going to be Embiid. And he is just bulldozing his way in the post. I have seen, though, the last couple of games, sometimes he gets really out of sorts and dribbling that ball all the way in. I saw him fall two or three, four times and lose it on turnovers, you know. I'm like, okay, so that's goofy. But other than that, the young man has made himself a force and improved every year in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see what they can do. I'm still not a James Harden fan, but, no, they don't need him to score 25, 30 points to do that Euro step and get to the line 50 million times. 13, 14, 16 points, 18 is enough if Embiid is doing what he needs to do and Maxey is being that third scorer. So.
Exactly. But hopefully we go far, but we'll see what happens because we may have the Heat up next if they beat the Hawks in the next series, and that's going to be a tough matchup. But we got to get into one more playoff game that happened yesterday, and this series is going to be a little bit interesting because this may have turned. The series may have turned in the other direction, but it was the Bucks versus the Bulls. The series is now tied 1-1. After the Bulls beat the Bucks last night in a 114-110 victory, DeMar DeRozan went off. Oh, my goodness. He went off and dropped 41 points with 7 rebounds. But then the Bucks, they also lost. Chris Middleton left the game after spraining his ACL, and Bobby Portis left the game after, I believe, he was hit in the face and had an eye laceration. This is going to be interesting, Princess. What are your thoughts about the future of this series?
Well, you just said that Middleton is gone, and I think the other young man will probably be back, but I think Middleton is out 2 weeks or whatever, so we'll see about that. But DeMar DeRozan, I saw him in the press conference after game one, and he said to himself and to the people in the press room, I miss open shots. He said, wide open shots. Nobody around me. He was so honest with himself. He said, all I can say is that I won't have that game 2 games in a row. And for him to say that and then to come out and just look like the basket was the ocean and score 41, good for him. And he did turn that series around. Now it's tied, 1-1. And I love myself some Giannis. But I don't know if he needs the pieces around him. So this may have taken the turn. We'll see in games 3 and 4 where this goes. But I think we have ourselves a series for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I might have put my foot in my mouth because I definitely said the Chicago Bulls were overrated to me because of certain things that just happened. I think you said that on the shoot-around. I did. And I'm still not sure about this Bulls roster just yet. I know things are looking good, but the one player that surprised me the most is Alex Caruso. I knew he was good defensively. I didn't know he was so good as a facilitator, which is very interesting. And I see why he left the Lakers to get this opportunity because he is definitely an asset to this Bulls offense. But for me, this is going to be so interesting because if Chris Middleton is out, I'm not sure how far the Bucks can go. They may be able to still pull off this series. It's going to be tough because you are going against DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine hasn't really started lighting things up yet, so he hasn't really gotten going yet. But once that happens, it's definitely going to be interesting, you know. But the Bucks should still have enough. I mean, they have Jrue Holiday. They still have Giannis. They have Brook Lopez, who has been showing up and showing out. He looked like reverted back about 5 years ago. They have Wesley Matthews. He can come off the bench. I don't know if they'll put him in the starting role, but he could definitely come off the bench and shoot lights out with that basketball. I shouldn't say lights out, but he's a decent shooter. So, and then they play defense. So hopefully Bobby Portis is okay because I know Bobby Portis is huge for this Bucks team on the offensive side and defensive side of the ball. But Chris Middleton is that guy. When the Bucks run into trouble offensively, Chris Middleton is the one who always makes a big shot to get them going again. And if they don't have that, I just don't know. And for the defense of the Chicago Bulls, Chris Middleton is one less player they have to worry about. So that means they can focus that much more attention on Giannis and on a Jrue Holiday and I'm not sure if they have enough around them to ensure the Bucks get out of this series and is able to play for the Nets in the next round. So this is definitely going to be an interesting one. This one's going to be exciting. And, you know, this one I had maybe the Bucks in five. This one might be a 6 or 7 game series, depending on how long Chris Middleton is out. I just don't know if Giannis could get it done all by himself. That's basically what he's going to do. It's going to have to be Giannis and Drew Holiday. So hopefully they're able to get it done.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting series. I thought that the Bucks got on a run last year in the playoffs, and it just seemed to have been their destiny. I don't think they are the team to beat in the East. So I think the Heat are, and I actually think I would put the 76ers before the Bucks. So we'll see how this all pans out. But I love this time of the year. I love the NBA playoffs, and to see how this will all kind of wash itself out. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We got a couple minutes, but real quick, Princess, I do have to ask you about this series. Just Devin Booker pulled his hamstring, I believe, and is out 2 to 3 weeks. So that means he's out for this Pelicans-Suns series. I know Pelicans just tied the series up 1-1. Do you think the Suns can still win the series against the Pelicans without Devin Booker?
Yeah, as long as Chris Paul stays healthy, I think they can win this series. And I know the Young Bucks for Pelicans have really surprised me. I love myself some McCollum. But I do think that the Suns come out of this series. They can hold on for Devin Booker to be out 2 to 3 weeks, and that maybe puts him in the next, you know, the next series and he comes back. But I think that's the best scenario. The worst scenario is that it's a hamstring, and you just never know how it recovers and recoups. And if he comes back and hurts it again, then he's out the rest of the season, and he's looking into 2022-2023. So they're going to have to be careful with this and not, put his career in jeopardy over this hamstring and not push it. They say 2 to 3 weeks, but if you're an athlete and you've ever had your hamstring affected or strained or pulled or any of that, you know, that's a slow recovery. I think that's the best scenario. This changes the complexity of the series. I think they get out of this one, but I don't know who they have up next, but that's going to be tough. I know I'm over my 60 seconds, so we're going to leave it there.
No, you're fine. I'm with you. I still think they can pull. I still think they can win. They have enough. They have Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, JaVale McGee, Cam Johnson. You know, those are all good players, and they play defense first. So I think Chris Paul, as long as Chris Paul stays healthy now, Paul will gather his team together. He is a good leader, a great point guard, and this just means that Chris Paul is going to have to look to score, and he can score the ball very well when he does look to score. I'm completely in agreement with this one. They need to take their time with Devin Booker because the hamstring is very tricky. You could say 2 to 3 weeks, you could feel better, and all of a sudden it starts flaring up on you again, i.e. in the case of James Harden. I still don't think his hamstring is 100% because they're constantly working on it, constantly. So if you're not careful, this can potentially keep you out a lot longer than 2 to 3 weeks. So he just needs to rest it and go from there. This is definitely going to be an interesting series. This is now going to be a fun one, but I still have the Suns coming out in maybe 6 games versus 4 or 5.
On a lighter note, Brittany, I'm still not sold on James Harden. I don't think him overall is 100%. And I mean mentally and physically, but I think he fits what Doc Rivers needs, and I think he fits and he seems to be getting along very well and have chemistry with Embiid. But I'm not sold with him. Maybe this is the best stop. But I've said this over and over, and I don't want to continue to dwell on the past, but his breakups with other teams have just been horrible separations, and there have been rumors. But here he seems to be doing what is needed. Now, there were some questions in the regular season, but I think they have – those were the games that they needed to develop whatever they have now in the playoffs. But I've never been sold on him, but he seems to be where he needs to be now. But overall, I don't think he's ever been at 100% to me. So, and I know that's just a sidebar.
Yeah, I agree with you. I still don't think he's at 100%, but thank goodness that Maxey was able to become the type of player that he is, so he doesn't have to worry about being 100% so fast. So as long as Maxey and Bede and Tobias, they're still able to do what they need to do, Harden to take his time to being 100% and still being able to contribute on the on a floor like he's supposed to. Now, it's going to be interesting in the next series if the Heat decide to double on Maxey, then we're going to need Harden to step up, and let's see how he impacts the game then. So that's going to be the true test, in my opinion. But
you know what? And I want to see that. I want to see the double on Maxey, and let's see what that forces Harden to do, because I want to see, you know, it's not like he doesn't have game. He can shoot and score with the best of them. So, I think he's an integral part of their success. And you need that top three. You need Harden, Embiid, and Maxey.
Exactly. Princess, we're coming to the end. You want to take it over from here?
Yeah, I'm going to take it over, Brittany, because I got to actually move into another event. So we're going to have to put it there and then come back next week for the female of the week, because I really want to talk about mine, Trinity Thomas, and I don't know who's yours for this week, Brittany.
Dominique Dawes.
Okay, so we'll do that, Dominique Dawes and Trinity Thomas. Wow, I think we both picked gymnasts, huh?
Yeah. We sure enough did. So
we sure did and didn't know it. But I want to highlight them next week, Dominique Dawes and Trinity Thomas. I know both of them very well, and that'll be good. But I got to move on to the next thing. Brittany, this was awesome. I love doing this with you, and I say that every week, and I mean it every week. So we're going to continue this then. What's up for you the final next week? Oh. How did I forget? Next week you won't be here. That's right. Next week is your birthday. And
my birthday.
Right. So we will pick up that when you get back. So I want to do those two young ladies together, Dominique Dawes and Trinity Thomas. And I don't know if Dominique Dawes actually performed as a gymnast in college, you know, and Trinity Thomas, of course, with the University of Florida. But I remember them both and the impact they had on the sport. But audience, if you find Brittany on She Knows Sports on Facebook or Instagram, make sure to say happy birthday to her. She's going to enjoy this one, and let's make all next week her birthday week. Enjoy yourself, Brittany, and we'll see you when you get back.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, tell Mom I said hello. This is She Knows Sports on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Brittany Jones, Princess Cooper, we'll see you next Thursday.